Well, as we heard earlier on AM, the ACTU is launching an ambitious campaign today for more secure jobs and better pay, particularly for casual or insecure workers. Under its Change the Rules campaign, all casual workers would be given the choice to convert to a permanent position after 6 months on the job. Workers in the so-called gig economy will have more rights, and labour hire firms would be more heavily regulated. This reform push will be backed by the largest advertising blitz since the union movement's Know Your Rights campaign against John Howard's work choices that occurred, you remember, more than a decade ago. Craig Launday is the Workplace Minister. He joins me in the breakfast studio this morning. Craig Launday, welcome back to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
The government often boasts about the 403,000 jobs created last year. But what's the point of strong unemployment growth if the jobs are insecure, if workers have little bargaining power and they don't all have access to minimum protections like sick leave and unfair dismissal?
Because 75% of those jobs, Fran, were full-time, and a stat that we've been pointing out repeatedly over the past few months.
Which leaves at least 25% of them the worst.
Which is completely consistent with the last 20 years, the rate of casuals has been steady at 25%. And it's important to note that the 25% loading that goes on top of the permanent wage for those casuals is there to cover sick pay and annual leave.
I understand that, and we heard Sally McManus.
Well, it's quite often
overlooked,
Fran.
No, I'm sure all of us have had casual jobs, and we've all had the 25% loading. But if you've got a casual job that is your full-time job, that is your almost full-time job or your permanent job, doesn't that go to this demand from Sally McManus today to give casual workers the option of converting their job to a permanent position after 6 months employment? Doesn't that seem fair?
Fran, the Fair Work Commission considered it last year, and they put it into an additional 86 awards, a casual conversion. This is exactly the part that gets missed. You said it, since 2007, biggest campaign. This is Labor's Fair Work Commission. This is Labor's Fair Work Act. And Fran, it was put in with the Greens in the Senate. It was green-lighted through.
Just to be clear, when you say it's put in to those
in
awards...
In 2009...
the
awards last year.
Are you saying in those awards that now permanent positions can be converted to... Casual positions.
You have the right to ask, yes, but the employer has the right to decline. And that's the Fair Work Commission's decision. Not mine, not the Turnbull government's. That's the Fair Work Commission's decision. And as with many things they so conveniently want to overlook, this is Labor's Fair Work Commission and Fair Work Act. And the unions were instrumental in the design and architecture of
it. That may be the case, but now there's this new campaign. There's a new ACTU secretary.
And it's based on lies, Fran.
Well, what is the lies?
The lie
people give up a loading of 25%, but they would gain access to set hours, paid holidays and sick leave.
The lie is that the rate of insecure work in this country is lifting. It's not. It's completely where it was 20 years ago. And don't forget, you've got people like school students, dominated in the casual sector, school students, university students, carers. Casual work is a completely appropriate way for many businesses and many employees to conduct their relationship.
Is it an appropriate way for, as Sally McManus, the example she gave us, for universities to conduct their business?
Look, that's up to the universities, the nature of work. I come from the hospitality sector, as you know, and it's completely consistent. And, you know, take, for example, in my electorate, Majors Bay Road, and Eat Street, which would be, you know, many places replicated around the country. If it rains this weekend, they don't need half their staff because they'll lose half their trade.
Yeah, but we're talking apples and oranges here, and you understand that. Sally McManus talked about that earlier.
We're not, because you can't differentiate between the two. And this is the part. Sabra was asking Sally, have you done an economic modelling? Surprise, surprise. No, because economic modelling isn't strong on their agenda.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be happy if you were kept on in a job that was essentially a full-time job as a casual for 3 years with no sick leave, no certainty, couldn't get a home loan, couldn't get an affordable car loan? Would you be happy with that?
Fran, if the nature of the business was that it couldn't function without me in that role, yes. And as I say, the premise of Sally's argument here is that there is an increase in casualisation in the Australian workforce. It's a lie. It's not true.
Is that a lie? Are you taking into... I mean, I haven't studied the stats, so I can't get into a statistical fight with you, but I do look at all the kids running around with a company like Deliveroo or the Uber drivers.
Again,
or that whole gig economy. Is that added into these casual figures that haven't changed? Because it looks like
economy,
it's changing.
The gig economy, recently considered again by the Fair Work Commission in a case brought by an Uber driver against Uber, that defined the nature of the employment relationship, accounts for 1% of our employment. It is a new and emerging thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
So don't we need to get clear the rules on this
and
to make it fair?
And the Fair Work Commission has recently done that, and it will continue if cases are brought, which is, again, the system. You don't rip up the system. This is monumental change. And the premise of Sally's argument is not only a falsehood, she's going to say today that 30 years of trickle-down economics hasn't worked. The average worker in Australia, Australian workers today, are 40% better off in real terms in salary basis than they were 30 years ago.
But that doesn't apply, for instance, to the Uber drivers who earn on average $14.62 an hour, below the minimum wage of $17.70. Now, you're quite right. The Fair Work Commission ruled on that recently and said, fair enough, these drivers are not employees. They're classed as independent contractors. But the point is not whether the Fair Work Commission has ruled on it, but is it fair?
Fran, it's eminently fair working under the current system, which Labor designed with the unions and implemented.
But you're in government now. Do you think the current system is good enough?
Yes. It is working exactly as it was designed to function. What's happening here, the part behind the scenes that you won't see, the unionised workforce today in this country is less than 9% of the private sector.
Sure.
Their business model is broken. This is a left-wing lunatic attempt to reset their business model.
Or is it?
That's what they're looking at here.
Or is it, as we heard the speech that's been delivered by the global head of Rio Tinto, that the anxiety, the public anxiety that is notable and is being seen and evident in our debates and our participation or not in democracy is caused in part by anxiety over disruption, technological change and disruption. Some of this casualisation or insecure work is caused by technological disruption. So there is change afoot.
Yeah, but Fran, technological disruption also creates. I mean, Uber is employing, I was at Auburn in my electorate, a company there, Splend, has taken 4,700 migrants around Australia off long-term unemployment and set them up as Uber drivers.
Yeah, that's great. But does that mean they should be paid less than the minimum wage?
They're not, Fran. It depends on how many hours you want to work. No, they're not. You know, I had an Uber driver that I was in the car. My kids use Uber, so I was in there with them a couple of weeks ago, and I was interested in how he operates and how it works. He will make in excess of $100,000 this year.
Yeah, if he works a lot of hours.
It's up to him where he works.
Yeah, but that doesn't go to the minimum wage, or not.
But, Fran, how many hours you want to work and the times at which you work them and the rates that you apply as per casuals
is up to individuals.
Exactly, and their employer.
That is true.
So, you know, and in a new and emerging relationship like the gig economy, that is, you know, will be defined as it should be with case law submitted to the Fair Work Commission for them to consider moving forward.
Isn't it the job of government, though, particularly a government like this one that is interested in innovation and the changing nature of work, to be looking at policies to get ahead of that? And yes, people might be happy for those jobs. If they are the growing trend of jobs, you have to be happy for it. But it doesn't mean we don't need to look at the conditions around them, does it?
On the former Minister for Innovation in this country. Innovation is creating jobs today.
Yes.
That's where the 403,100 comes from.
I understand that. So that doesn't mean, though, necessarily we need to create two classes of worker, does it?
We're not. We're creating better and more highly skilled jobs at the back end. You know, there's this, my opponents will have, Labor and the ACTU will tell you, we've got a crisis in manufacturing in this country. And they'll point to Holden and Ford closing in Victoria and South Australia. In the last 12 months in those two states, there was a net increase of 10,000 manufacturing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just selectively cherry-picking figures and using them to propagate a political agenda, a populist agenda, and for Sally McManus to create a new business model for a reeling business model that's down to 9% of the private sector employment.
I think there's a lot of people listening who understand that there's people they know, maybe people in their family, maybe they themselves are in work now where they don't receive the minimum wage, they don't get compo, they don't get sick leave, and they don't get super. Someone's just written in, I'm 64, I'm still a casual worker with no super. Why is Craig Laundy against me?
I'm not. The premise, that last bit of your question, that you don't get super would be because they're a casual, but all the things you said before about not getting minimum wage, not getting compo, that's illegal. That's not possible. My advice to them would be jump onto fairwork.gov.au and make contact with the Fair Work Ombudsman.
But it's not illegal if you're an Uber driver.
Uber drivers and the amount they work and the amount they make is completely as it should be a relationship between them and their clients.
But it's not the minimum wage.
It's Fran, it depends on how much you work.
No, no, the minimum wage is an hourly rate. It's not about how much
you work.
Fran,
it depends on how much you work. When you gross up the amount you work, you multiply it by, and this was what the Fair Work Commission said, the relationship is not between the driver and Uber, it's between the driver and the customer in the car, exactly the same as a taxi driver.
Okay, you're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Workplace Relations Minister, Craig Lundy. Can I ask you about another issue that the government's considering at the moment, intensely, trying to get the 9 votes it needs on the crossbench in the Senate to pass the business tax cuts. Debate starts today in the Senate. One Nation seems to be getting close, Darren Hinch too, but they both want assurances it would lead to increased wages. And Senator Hinch wants a legislated contractual guarantee from companies who get the tax cut. In other words, companies to provide undertakings to the ATO that they will lift workers' wages in return for the tax cut. Is that possible or practical?
Look, up to Matthias, obviously, to conduct those negotiations. I can't see how that would be practical and enforceable and measurable. And the reality is here that, you know, when companies, and you've seen this historically, when companies are more profitable, you know, there are more jobs created, they are better paying jobs, profitability flows through to wage increases. There's a, you know, traditional and historic link to that. However, you know, I'm not a fan of telling companies what they can and can't do. Those investment decisions which drive the economy and drive jobs are taken by entrepreneurs on a daily basis, and, you know, government should get out of their way, not into it.
Craig Lundy, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Craig Lundy is the Minister for Workplace Relations and Small and Family Businesses. And for the benefit of transparency, we should point out the ABC is among workplaces which are increasingly using casual workers.